It is Nothing But Net with Muck, Bill, and Sonny. With our special guest, Sheck is in the building. The Basketball Africa League is back, and VOA is here to present to you our first podcast. What's going on, gentlemen?
Muck, Bill, I'm excited. I'm excited for season three of the Basketball Africa League. We have five new teams this year. Sheck, what do you think of those teams? You think they're going to make an impression?
Man, this thing is exciting every year, man. Every year they come up with different juice and to make it really enjoyable. So I'm very excited to see the new teams and the new talent from different countries. And it's going to be very interesting this year.
So if I would have to say, Sheck, starting off with the Sahara Conference, who are the teams to watch?
Man, it's several of them, you know. Senegal, the organizing team, you got to keep your eyes on that. And they have the home advantage.
Home court advantage.
Yeah, home court advantage. And it's going to be very interesting to see how they're going to respond. Last year, we saw them this last tournament. They did pretty okay. But this year, we expect to see them better with better recruitment because that's where they're hosting. The first Saharan Conference. And also, we got a new Malian team came back. Unfortunately, Sonny, all these teams, they don't get together like select team players. They just go with whoever wins. They don't do a lot of selection. So it's kind of hard to decide who's going to be really a team to watch. But we all know the top three, Slack will be okay too, you know what I mean? So those two are what I'm talking for.
Muckville, opening game, ABC Fighters from Ivory Coast. And they got Liz Mills as their coach. She's back. Last year, I think she was coaching Saleh from Morocco.
Yeah.
What do you think she'll do with the Fighters?
Honestly, I like Liz's coaching style. She's been doing a lot of coaching on the continent. If she's going to be anything like she was last season with AS Saleh, she might have come up a little bit short. But honestly speaking, I feel like she's going to do great. The biggest takeaway or challenge I would have to say would be the fact that I believe she doesn't speak French.
Okay.
So I've noticed that she has a translator there, and you know, to attest to all of us who've played basketball, how do you feel like, Sheck, if I was to swing it to you, if a coach doesn't speak your language, right, mm-hmm. or a language that you guys understand,
yeah,
how is that coach's like coaching style going to be able to be? Can she convey it through a translator?
Yeah, one thing for sure, you cannot teach talent, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So talent is all languages, man, because, right. you know you understand the game pretty much. It's a kind of a tough transition to do, but in reality, they have what they need. This woman is very good, and she's the only woman that is really taking courage and doing these things. It's not easy to deal with guys, a group of guys in a team, but everybody respect her, mm-hmm. and everybody listen to what she said because she got a tremendous experience doing this job. And I think the language part would be just like something temporary because basketball is all English words, you know.
Right.
Fast break, you
right.
know, set up pick, screen.
Oh, shit.
You know, all those words are English words that people understand it already. This is how you work, you know, in basketball level. I don't think that will cause a lot of problem in there.
Comfort level, though. I mean, I was looking at the teams in the Sahara Conference. We have, I think, four of the teams are French-speaking teams. We got the Ivorians, the team Stade Malien, mm-hmm. Douanes from Senegal, and Monastir. They speak mainly French, too,
French.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a factor? I mean, is there a comfort level, you know, being in a French-speaking country?
I think French-speaking countries are like every year we see a lot of them in this tournament because it's organized around that area. I'm happy they add Western and Nile, Saharan Conference in Nile, and then finish in Kigali, which is in Central Africa. But most team is the first 14th French-speaking country playing a big role in this league right now, and I'm very happy. And Monastir, one thing I want to really think about Monastir, they might have a lot of backlash because of the situation in Tunisia for. You know, you guys know what's going on.
The political situation.
The political situation.
Right.
And that might be hurting them a little bit. But to remind you, this team make it to the playoff championship back-to-back.
Back-to-back,
and they win last championship.
Absolutely.
And they have a very good guy, which I like, Mojack.
Yeah,
the big man from Sudan.
So he's my favorite player, actually, for that team.
Yeah.
And I haven't take look deep to the roster because usually they don't finalize it before it's a period of time.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure they're coming ready.
Speaking of big men from South Sudan, Douanes, they've got a player. I think he played last year in the BL, Malik.
Yeah.
7 feet one and only 16 years old. And You can't teach height, check.
You can't hit height. You can teach talent. Those are the two things you can teach, man. You know.
Yeah,
it will be exciting to see because this is NBA practice. This is the kind of caliber of players potential that NBA is looking to get, and I think it's really something good to see how they're exposing a lot of young kids to get to that level.
What do you think, Mukbil? Do they want to maybe get the players at a young age? I'm talking about the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like with this NBA Elevate players, if we're looking at this, you have 19 years old is what I would say is the oldest, and as young as 16 years old, you know? So you have a lot of these players in that moment where you really, you know, that's the most coachable time in a player's career, I feel like, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, when you got younger than middle school, kind of, is really like you're just learning the ropes of the game.
They call it raw.
Yeah, it's raw talent, right? But then when you get to that 16, 17, 18, you really have developed the skill sets that you've had already. And then you also mentioned, right, you can't teach height. So if you have a 16-year-old kid who's a 7-footer and can actually play and understands the game, my goodness, the NBA is really looking like, that's the one, you know?
That's the one, you know? That's what they're looking for, because at that age, they think you're raw. Right. Anything that's raw, you can turn it to be something else.
For sure.
But if you're already not raw, you're already where you are, and it's hard to turn it around. But 16, you can put muscles on, you can improve, you can get your game better, you can play against group of guys like this and get experience how it is you're going to play against with grown men in the league. It's a good experience for a lot of kids to get to this level, and I'm very excited that we're going to be able to see this guy dunking, you know?
Mukbil, one young player I want to ask you about. We'll see him, I guess, next month in the Nile Conference. Yeah. Zaire Wade, the son of Dwayne Wade, the former NBA star. How do you think he'll do with Cape Town?
Honestly speaking, I feel like, you know, the BAL has done a great job in, you know, basically making the game as global as it can, right? So we had season one, we had J. Cole there. Mm-hmm. Season two, we kind of stepped away from maybe a celebrity factor, and Zaire Wade is what we would say would be the closest to that at this moment. He's going to be playing on the Cape Town Tigers. He'll be playing alongside the captain, Peter Prinsloo, who is a solid hooper. So maybe under his mentorship, you know, we'll see. Zaire definitely will have to get a lot of touches. I presume if I'm Cape Town, I would definitely get him in the starting rotation to see basically what it is that he can do for the team. Mm-hmm. The kid's talented, man. He has the skill set. We've seen him play in the NBA G League with Utah. He really does have what it takes, but I'm interested to see how he'll mesh in with that Cape Town Tigers team. You know, the problem with a lot of these teams is they're putting together these teams within 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah. Right.
Know, that's the challenging part.
The chemistry is not really there. And I'll swing it back to you guys. And I feel like the teams that we mentioned earlier, the U.S. Monastir or the Zamaleks of the past, you know, or even if you look at a team like Petro, right? The reason why they do so well is because their entire cast has been playing together for so long. You cannot teach
experience.
You know, chemistry is one of those things where you have to play with a team long enough in order to hone it.
To understand.
It doesn't matter how skilled you are. If you're a pro player, if you came in, you can grab an NBA guy today, put him on a team that he's never played with. He's not going to get you that best production. Yeah. So I feel like, you know, it's going to depend on how much chemistry that Cape Town Tigers team can have to play around each other to see if they can succeed.
And I think based on kind of what Mukbil just said, Chuck, that I kind of feel like Monastir must be the favorite as this conference gets ready to tip off. They've been around a while.
Absolutely.
They won the trophy last year.
They understand.
I think they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Monastir is going to be a team that is going to be everybody super match. You know what I mean? Because they've been everybody super match for the last two seasons, you know? But hopefully they will do some solidarity work and because sport is a way to really bring people together.
I like that.
They will probably find a way to really address the political situation by doing some symbol act and the games. I'm expecting to see stuff like that from Monastir, you know, and because we need that right now. And sport is a way to really, is a bridge to bring people together, cross bridges to each other, you know. And for Wade one, I want to focus on the attention side.
Yeah.
The attention we're going to get by having this NBA legend player's son.
Hall of Famer.
I got to believe his father might show up to watch his son play.
He will show up, and his wife might show up also, right. Gabriel Union.
Right.
And this is a
high-profile
icon, high-profile that can really bring some attention to Basketball Africa League. Mm. That's the attention people are looking for in the league, right, to expose these young guys. And we saw it with J. Cole when J. Cole was there. Yeah. We saw it on social media. Oh, J. Cole is balling in Basketball Africa League.
J. Cole, actually, that year, I remember, he was in his hotel room on Instagram Live with Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
huge.
Wow.
So it gave a lot of attention. And I don't mind seeing a lot of retired players coming to support the Juwan Wade son in there.
Right. I remember J. Cole also brought a lot of sneakers with him.
Absolutely.
To hand out to the players. Maybe D. Wade will do
that. That's
the
name
thing.
Of the basketball, man. Sneakers.
Absolutely. No.
Yeah.
I like that. And just to touch up on that, I love that point that Sheck brought up. You know, attention is something I feel like season two might have been missing because mm-hmm. there was no, in essence, that celebrity factor that could kind of expand and globalize the game from that perspective. Mm-hmm. I think Zaire Wade definitely brings that aspect to it. I know D-Wade was actually at the Combine
in
Paris. He was there. So he's definitely one of those guys. Another guy who definitely could bring some eyes is Walter Hodge. Walter Hodge is back this season.
Okay. Yeah.
Finals MVP with Zamalek. He's now playing with...
Season one.
He's playing with Al Ahly, which is another Egyptian side. Right. He's going to be playing with that side. And he actually, I remember, had his former teammate, Gators, Joakim Noah, come and watch the finals. And that's how Joakim Noah ended up. And now he's actually an ambassador for the BAL this season.
And actually, he having a recruiting coaching company. He's trying to bring players to the NBA from that. Yeah. And he have a coaching and scouting organization with Dikembe Mutombo. Both of them was interested in doing that.
Right.
And I think I heard a comment from Noah that... he's an investor in NBA Africa, which basically is part of BAL in some sense. So he has a financial interest in this league.
Absolutely. And I saw they have an interesting bowl event at the NBA All-Star. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a good talk. Noah was there.
Right.
A lot of old guys was there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And Fall was here 2 weeks ago to attend that. And also the FIBA president from Mali was there, Amen Young. And he was there also. So I saw a lot of college prospect players who finish college that are here in the United States, but they all attend that event and they all support what Gallo Fall is doing. So I think it's coming. You know, we start seeing players in NBA D League from ball, which is very interesting to see, and they have potentially is going to be on NBA Draft 2024.
Right.
And the kid from Senegal, Bai, he's a point guard. That's very hard to find point guard that go to the D League from Africa. But
I think you're right, Check. I think I heard that at least two players from the NBA Academy, which is based in Dakar, I believe, will probably get drafted in the NBA draft, which would be, that'd be huge.
Yeah, 2024, he will be eligible for NBA draft. And all eyes on him because NBA is also trying to not make this only talent. They want to make this also a cross coverage about basketball skills in the continent.
Right.
You know, because they've seen a lot of talent from Africa, Joel Embiid.
Oh, yeah.
Giannis.
Pascal.
Siakam.
You know, all these great guys, you know, young guys, you know. And I admire the kid from Congo that played for Golden State. He went to play for his national team. And he would love to do something like this, but the season interfered. Kamunga.
Mm. Okay.
He played for Golden State.
Oh,
but,
he's
a great guy. He's under 22 or 23.
Yeah.
And he loved for his country, and he went to play for the national team. And we like to see player
that kind
like that
of
for
national
the NBA.
Pride, right.
Yeah, and that's going to really push for the pitch to the NBA. It'd be very good.
I love that because we saw that shift recently happen with the World Cup, right?
Yes.
A lot of the African stars who had the eligibility to play for their European sides opted to play for their African national teams. So I think now it's almost like a shift in culture across all sports, you know?
Yep.
And it's happening in basketball as well. We would love to embrace it to be able to see a lot of these stars play for their home countries. That would be amazing.
Yeah. What about Mukbil? Do you see any kind of dynamic between the NBA G League and the BAL? There'd be some transfer of players across both leagues.
I mean, just speaking on Zaire Wade, right? Having played just a season with the Utah side for the G League and now coming to play the BAL. I'm sure there's going to be quite a few other players that might make that jump as well. And even from the other way as well. So not only necessarily from the G League to the BAL, but from the BAL to the G League. And yeah, we've already had some players in the past that have been able to successfully make that transition over. Now we're just looking to see players from the BAL jump right over straight into the league.
To the basketball league, yeah.
One thing I'd like to see from the BAL in the future is maybe younger players. You know, maybe not... Maybe not bring in the guys that are 35, 36, 37 that have had NBA experience, but make it a league that, you know, is really on an upward trajectory.
Yeah, I think that will come, Sonny. I agree with you on that because this is really about exposing, you know, if we want NBA, NBA is not looking for guys that are 35 and up. You know, NBA is looking for who is 20 and under. If you look at NBA draft, the first round draft all under 20 years old, you know. And so I think Gallo did a good job doing that because the first season he put Ball Elevate 8 players on the different teams and he had a section with them and all of them was there. So it's pushing a little bit, but it will come. So this thing is very, it's like a trend moving. So, you know.
And the Ball Elevate, I think it's one of kind of the gems of the Basketball Africa League. I think it was a great initiative and it sounds like it's going to continue.
But it's great that you brought that up, Sonny. If we're really looking at it, right, Zaire Wade is exactly that same thing we're talking about
because he
is a young player trying to make it to the league, went from the G League, but now he's opting to play in the BAL. If this ends up turning out successful for him, right, and he gets the looks that he wants, he's able to produce on a winning team, right, in this league, then I can see how other players would potentially make that jump as well. You know, I don't see how they don't do it. This is the Zaire project in essence, right? Yeah. We're gonna see really.
I like that.
You
know, the Zaire project.
Right. We'll see. We'll see what he ends up doing. And I feel like the kid has game. So
he has game.
Yeah. So I definitely think that he can do what he needs to do in order to get it done. But if he's successful, watch out next season. A bunch of young players will opt to play for the BAL as opposed to going, you know, maybe playing that extra season in the G League.
Yeah, it can be both ways because G League players might get into something like that as well because we recorded a lot of G League team in the last two seasons and that play NBA G League before and they end up going to overseas. Sometimes G League is, there's a chance in G League right now because chances they have like at least seven players, two-way contract.
Right.
You know, they might bring you on the A team to the NBA team. It give you a chance to do stuff. So there's a lot of chances in this, but the chance is for African players to really come in.
Right. What about in the NBA draft itself that maybe a player that isn't drafted or maybe just missed being in the first two rounds, would they think about the Basketball Africa League?
I don't see why not, honestly. I mean, usually what players look at is, hey, I'm going to go put my name in the lottery, right? See if I can get drafted.
Yeah.
If you go undrafted, you then still have connections potentially to maybe do some workouts with some specific teams to see if they like you. If they might not want you for the A side, like Shuck said, they might put you on the B side and put you in with their G League, developmental league, and see how you pan out there. But we know the logistics that happen in the G League as well, right? Lottery picks or players that they really want to invest in are the ones that are going to get more of the playing time. So it might make more sense for you to go to a BAL or go overseas in one of these other, you know, countries and go play over there, put your numbers up, put your production up, and then try to see if you can swing back again.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But I think definitely you will see a lot more players wanting to go that BAL or overseas route as opposed to the G League.
Yeah, let's talk about college. You know, a lot of these kids want to skip college, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's a very interesting topic too, you know what I mean?
Which, you know, from an education standpoint, I mean, you learn things in college that you really can't learn in the Basketball Africa League or any league for that matter.
Absolutely.
That, I mean, I think it definitely serves a purpose.
Absolutely. The kid made a good choice to go to Washington State University. The kid from Ball Elevate. I think he played for one of the team last year from Nigeria. We were just speaking about him. He choose to go to college. He didn't choose to come to NBA D-League.
Okay, all
and
right.
He could go to NBA D-League. But that part of aspect, I wanted to see it as an option or so for players to come in, 16 years old, to come in. It doesn't hurt for always to go back when NBA Basketball Africa League season come, because majority of the time is in March.
Yeah.
And when college season is finished, you know, so it's not like NBA is going on to July.
Right.
So college season finish in around March, then there's a chance for you to go play D-League. Basketball Africa League in college as a student here.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be very good also to consider for these players, young kids.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
The challenge with the college game has always been, in my opinion, I feel like the college game is a harder game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very more challenging game. So a lot of the players that come out of high school, in America especially, that are in these AAU circuits and stuff, they don't want to be challenged with the college game. So what they'll do is they'll opt to go play a pro game like the D-League and go from there. And also, at the end of the day, if you're a college athlete, you're still in college. So you still have to balance your time with playing the game and also your studies.
Yeah.
Whereas a G-League player has the ability to just concentrate fully on the game. So you're kind of in that, you know, in that challenge of like, hey, I'm splitting my time. I really want to get this degree. I'm working towards something else as well. But am I really going to get the fair shake that, you know, somebody else might get?
Yeah.
Because they're putting 100% of their effort into that.
Yeah.
How about the big man from Bamako? What did you study in college?
Oh, man, I studied political science, international affairs. And I have studied MBA on business administration, because our school is, I think school is very important too.
I agree.
On my view, because basketball's career is not guaranteed. Even it's guaranteed, you don't play after 35 years old. Kobe will tell you that.
Unless you're LeBron.
Unless you're LeBron, you know. Kobe can tell you that. Rest in peace on him, you know, because he retired early. As you get old, you're going to, you know,
start feeling it.
And then that time you got to have some experience with school and some knowledge that you can really hold on to.
Yeah, I would agree totally, Chuck, that if there's anyone, you know, considering whether they are listening and you have a chance to get a college scholarship.
Absolutely.
Go for it.
Go for it. Because NBA college scholarship is, I don't think it's much different than NBA contract. Because if you look at your scholarship amount of money, per 4 years, a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, some of these schools offer $75,000 full ride scholarship for 5 years or 4 years is good, big money.
And
sometimes NBA players don't get that.
And you also know? Have now, with the likeness of you as well, for the NCAA players are able to get paid off of their proceeds as well, right? So, which is amazing, because before, you know, you weren't able to necessarily get anything off of your likeness.
I think they need to educate themselves on school size, Sonny. That's really important.
I agree. The other factor with this fledgling Basketball Africa League, we have leagues in Europe. The window for getting to the NBA, it's a very small window. You have a lot of international players.
Yeah, it is very small.
That, you know, from all over the world that want to play in that league.
Absolutely.
And it's hard. So, like you said, it's good to have a fallback.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like they give our people the opportunity to show their talent, you know, but it's a big thing because it's is all funded by the NBA, a strict direct bridge if NBA want to do something with the league, because NBA doesn't recruit from every league in Europe outside of America.
Right.
It's very
right.
hard. You know, it's Japan league's really low. Is there some league, even Pro A, B, Pro B and C, it's very hard to get to the NBA. Those players, when they come to D-League, they're very happy because D-League is like the last step before NBA. Majority of them will drop contract with good money to come play D-League in the United States. So just they can feel like they have a chance to get to the NBA. So that part is very interesting too.
Muckville, one quick college basketball point. What was your reaction to Jim Boeheim calling it quits after 47 years at Syracuse?
Hey, Coach has had a stellar career, to say the least.
Unbelievable.
Hall of Fame career, Boeheim. Anybody who knows what he's done with that program, it's going to be very difficult to follow suit. How do you follow that? You know, he's really changed the culture over at Syracuse. And I'm sure everybody who's played under him has always said amazing things about him being able to.
Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo played under him. Absolutely. Yeah. I won a championship.
Pearl Washington.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah, absolutely.
No. He's amazing. And kudos to him, man, for being able to have such a long and productive career, right? Mm-hmm. To just jump into the games right before we finish up, as we've seen, time flies when you're having fun, right?
Absolutely.
AS Duanes versus ABC Fighters. We have
opening game.
We have have REG versus the Kuwara Falcons, and then we have Stade Malien versus U.S. Monastir. So in each one of those games, we have a new team versus a vet team.
That's right. That's playing. Right.
Interesting.
So
that's a good point.
How do you think that pans out, man? How do you feel? How do you guys feel, especially about the opening game? I'm very interested.
Well, I will say the fighters. I think their preparation has been well for this tournament. They actually invited the Falcons and maybe one other BAL team to a training camp, right? And they basically scrimmaged against each other, which and you're also scouting the other team when they're playing together.
Right.
So they probably got a good feel for what they're going up against. Mm-hmm. But that's a great point. You got three debutante teams going against. Probably got to go with the experienced teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Because right now, the first two teams, actually, IS Duan came in the first season, and they bounced to the Duke. The second one, they come back again. The third one,
right.
It's the same thing with the Mali team, because Mali team, this is their first season.
Yeah.
They was in the first.
So they got bounced, it came right
back. Yeah, so IS Duan have an experience already there, but Abidjan is a very tough team to see, too, because we remember that guy the point guard, he played for U.S. Monastir. I forgot. I can't think of his name. He's very good. Mm-hmm. He's playing for Ivory Coast team right now.
Okay.
So he's going to be very interesting because he have experience there and playing at a high level and execute in a final situation. And it will be big for them. And I believe U.S. Monastir is going to be very tough.
They'll be tough.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to come with it, give you the first punch and everything, you know. And everything will be coming along with that, you know. And we see some other team, I think Mozambique. I'm not sure. Ugandan? Which team is it? I believe it's on.
For the Sahara Conference, it'll be the...
Spring Club. I think that's from Uganda. I think one of the
City Oilers are the Ugandan team.
Yeah, those are new teams.
Yeah, so, Al Ahly from the Egyptian side, even though they're champs as well, will be a new team as well.
A new team as well. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting.
But I do like the fact that U.S. Monastir is going to be going up against Stade Malien. So Stade Malien... I know there's some studs over there, man.
You must know some of those players.
I do know
some of the players. I know the head assistant coach that I was a national team with him.
Okay,
it was a point guard, Juma. His last name is Maiga.
Yeah,
he tell me the players are local, muchly because it's a lot of funding problem. These people don't get the money on time to get recruit players when they want to.
Right,
and the team requests BBL to deposit the money on their bank account for them to do their job. But if you don't get that money, you don't get no players.
Yeah,
they have local players only.
But that all factors into preparation too. I mean, you gotta eat.
Yeah, and you gotta have your own money.
But honestly, I feel like having a local team, man, that's what it's about.
Let the local players
because we've seen Petro, you know, U.S. Monastir, a lot of these teams have had maybe one or two pieces, but in actuality, the core team has played together for years. So
for a long time.
The Malian team might have something, man, for U.S. Monastir.
What I like about it, they have young guys, which is good, and we're going to see they got fresh legs.
Mukbil, what about REG, Rwanda Energy Group?
I like them from last season. Maybe they underperformed, but I think, you know, if they can make it to the playoffs, I think, you know, having the Rwandan folks in the background, you know, it always helps.
It always helps.
That's why I'm saying.
If they make it to the playoffs, you know, it's going to be a wrap.
I'm telling you, the AS Douanes side with Senegal being at home is going to give them that fuel that they need. I'm really excited to see them
play. I'm pretty sure they make a lot of arrangement because they say last season the stadium was far from the city.
Mm.
So you probably see some change about how people can come support the
team. I think they scheduled games last year right at like rush hour.
And the
fans just couldn't get to the arena.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Maybe, hopefully,
always
hopefully
a learning
we'll
curve.
See more fans.
Yeah, absolutely. This thing just improve every year from my view, from my everything, because I see a lot of things change. Sunday, you remember when we started this first season, every year there is some improvement
and
involvement with other stuff. That's very interesting. So we'll be glad to see something better this year.
Who are some of the other celebrities we might see in season three, Mukbil? Outside of maybe D-Wade and...
Player-wise, maybe...
You know who I will tell you?
Yeah. I know Joakim. Joakim will be
the famous
there.
Soccer player from Senegal. Mane might be there.
Okay, he'd be big. He'd be a big celebrity.
Yeah. I think Mane or even any of the honestly, Captain Kalubali might pop out. You know, I think that'll be good, man.
Absolutely.
That'll be interesting.
Absolutely,
that'll be great to see. But honestly, it's been a pleasure, gentlemen.
Thank you.
As always. It's nothing but net with Mukbil and Sonny and Shaq.
Nothing but net.
You already know, man. It's amazing. We'll see you guys on the next episode of the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.